Welcome to the Hospital Finance Podcast, your go-to source for information and insights that can help you protect and enhance revenue at your hospital. And now, the host of the Hospital Finance Podcast, Michael Passanante.
Hi, this is Mike Passanante. Welcome back to the Hospital Finance Podcast. Very happy you could be with us. Today, we are live from the second day of the AHIMA convention in Baltimore, Maryland. And I am joined by Becky DeGroski, who is a product manager at TrueCode. Welcome, Becky.
Thank you, Mike. Nice to be here with you.
It's great. It's great. It's a great show and a lot of new things going on. So we're happy to have a few minutes to talk to you about some of the challenges and changes that are going on in the HIM marketplace. Becky, just for our listeners, could you tell us a little bit about your background?
Sure. I've been credentialed HIMer for longer than I care to say, but I'll tell you it's been 40 years plus. And so I've seen ICD-8, ICD-9, ICD-10, and we've survived them all.
And we will continue to in the future, right?
Exactly.
Well, you just mentioned ICD-10, and now we're a year into it. The grace period's over. Things seem to be going well. And we started off that process with something called computer-assisted coding. We were chatting on that just a minute ago.
Right. The CAC, computer-assisted coding, seemed to be the answer for everyone as they were approaching ICD-10. This would save us production. We wouldn't need all the coders that we were going to need in preparation for this crazy new coding system. And it seems to have lost its glitter, its sparkle. People don't seem to be as entranced with it. It's not the system that's the big deal here this year as it was in past years.
So where do you see that moving to?
Believe it or not, I see more and more systems that are CDI, which is Clinical Documentation Improvement. And what's crazy to me about that is this is not a new idea. It's been around for a long time. It's just that now it has a new name, and now we're finally getting our arms wrapped around systems for it. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing for the hospitals. In the 40 years, physicians have never documented well, so we've always been on the course of documentation improvement.
And we're here in October. 2017 is going to be upon us before we know it. What are some of the challenges that you've seen in the marketplace or maybe that you're hearing here at AHIMA?
Well, the whole change in the macro act where we're going to start really enforcing the risk adjustment and the payment for the risk adjustment patients, and people are moving and really looking into, and I think it's one of the hottest topics I've heard through the convention, the HCC codes from CMS. Well, actually, they're from the Health and Human Services. They're at even a higher level, and they are assigning hierarchical classification codes to the ICD codes, and then it assigns a risk assessment to it. And that way, on the big data level, you can look at a patient's across their continuum of care from the doctor's office through the hospital, through the pharmacy codes, and we can say, Becky DeGroski is a high risk. We don't want her. We have to have her because by law they can't turn me away, but we're going to pay you more money to take care of her because we've already recognized that to be a risk. Mm-hmm. And hey, Mike, he's pretty healthy. He doesn't have a whole high risk. We're not going to pay you as much to take care of him. And this is really where we're moving, both from the physician pricing models to eventually the facility models, where they'll start assigning them through the facility and paying everybody who's in any kind of a risk pool.
Right.
And you have to remember that with that payment methodology, you're still getting paid, but now you either get a bonus at the end of the year or you don't get the bonus at the end of the year. And I think that, frankly, it's a good way for us to move. This will be finally looking at everything that we've tried to do with risk over the years with the MSDRGs, with the APRDRGs. This is much more refined.
So let's go back and touch on macro a little bit more because, you know, if you look, see what's out there in the marketplace right now, you see that a lot of doctors don't even know what macro is. There's been some congressional action trying to figure out how to educate them, how do we roll this out in an intelligent way. How is that affecting the implementation of systems that really track against that or can help the doctors do what they need to do?
Well, for one thing, physicians have never put a focus on the coding of their claims. You know, they would code it to get it paid. This is a good code. Fatigue was always a good code, no matter what you gave the patient as far as testing. You'd get it paid. Well, those days, fatigue isn't something that, those days are gone.
Right.
That isn't something that's going to get you big bucks. You have to really pay attention to your documentation, even at the physician office. And what I've seen through this conference so far, a lot of the consulting firms that were focused in improving coding and improving DRG assignment in the hospital setting are changing their focus and looking now in the physician office. So they are providing that education to the physicians. And in the long run, it'll improve the hospital's documentation, because if you start at the very beginning and bring it up, I've always said that one of the problems with DRG system, the hospitals don't employ the physicians. They employ the hospitalists, but over the big course, they don't. So they can't really force them to do anything that impacts the hospital bottom line, because it doesn't impact the physician's bottom line. He's still getting paid whether the hospital is or not. And this is a way that that's going to improve that kind of documentation.
And it should improve compliance, too.
Oh, absolutely. And quality of care, which, again, it can't always be about the money. We have to be coding, thinking about quality of care, thinking about the statistics and the reporting that needs to be done with the things that we code. A lot of people, even in the hospital, will code and get their CC, their MCC. Hey, I'm in the good DRG. I don't need to worry about all the other things. Well, interestingly, because HCC codes with a risk assignment do run the continuum of care, there are some of those codes, a good many of them, that are not CCs and MCCs for the hospital. And yet they'll improve, well, improve, they'll increase your risk assignment, and you'll get paid more then. So in the long run, I think it's a good thing. It's a good thing. You know, I think that healthcare in America, see, I'm sorry, I'm going to get on my little bandbox here. You know, we've gone through, we know we have issues. We're not providing the best care in the world anymore. We're not the healthiest people, and we should be, and yet we're the most expensive, and that's wrong. It's a broken system. It's been broken for a long time. But we need to go about fixing it in the right way. And the sad truth is Medicare does drive everything, because it's the 80-20 theory. Who gets sick? Who's in the hospital? Have you been in the hospital lately? It's old people. It's Medicare patients. So that's what drives it. And, you know, I'm going to be a Medicare patient in a few years. I want to make sure that I'm getting quality and that somebody's paying for me. So this is all, I think, going to just improve the whole system.
Well, and beyond Medicare, it should improve the private payer side.
Correct. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, MACRA, it's just the start of how private payers will want to pay physicians, right?
Right. And Medicare managed care is really managed by those private payers. And that's the biggest chunk, when you come down to it, of Medicare and Medicaid. I'm from Pennsylvania, and in Pennsylvania, 100% of our Medicaid is managed and has been for a long time. So those things are going to improve it for us. And, of course, with the Medicaid population, you're looking at different risk assignments, because now you have a younger population. Now you're dealing, we don't have a whole lot of pregnant Medicare patients. You're dealing with younger people. You're dealing with different risks, different criteria. And, you know, when I was young, I didn't complain that I had to pay for the old people. I just paid and knew that they're going to be young people that are going to come behind me. They're going to pay for me. But it doesn't seem now people don't want to do that. But you have to pay it forward. And that's what healthcare is all about. We have to take care of everybody.
Becky, that's a great note to end on. Some great information. Could you just share for our audience a little bit about TrueCode and what you do?
Sure. TrueCode is an encoder. We provide, I always say, we're a one-trick pony, and we do that trick better than anybody else because we're focused that way. We provide encoding software either in a client-server installed system or with our TrueCode Encoder Essentials, which is controls and services. Or right now we're working on the next generation of TrueCode, where it will either be hosted in the cloud or you can still load it onto your own server.
Good morning, exhibitors.
Great. Well, there's our 2 minute warning. Becky, have a great rest of the show. It was a delight meeting you, and I appreciate your time.
Great. Thanks, Mike.
All right. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
If you have a topic that you'd like us to discuss on the Hospital Finance Podcast, or if you'd like to be a guest, drop us a line at update@Bessler.com.
This concludes today's episode of the Hospital Finance Podcast. For show notes and additional resources to help you protect and enhance revenue at your hospital, visit Bessler.com/podcasts. The Hospital Finance Podcast is a production of Bessler Consulting.